Amen. Sorry about that. Turn your Bibles, Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31, and then I'm going to have you turn to one other passage. I know that that air just started, but I am dying with heat. Hot. I know it's warm because my secretary has her coat unzipped. It's not off yet. That doesn't mean it's unbearable. Jeremiah chapter 31. We're going to read two verses together here. Let's read them in unison. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 29 and 30. Jeremiah 31, verses 29 and 30. Ready? Let's read these in unison. Ready? Here we go. In those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But every one shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. And then turn to 2 Kings chapter 14. 2 Kings chapter 14. We're going to look at verse number 6. We're going to read this one in unison together as well. I'll pray, and we're going to just jump right into the sermon. I have a lot to say, and I'm going to try to cut it off right at 7 tonight. I said try. 2 Kings chapter 14, verse number 6. Let's all read in unison together. Ready? But the children of the murderers he slew not, according to that which is written in the book of the law of Moses, wherein the Lord commanded, saying, the father shall not be put to death for the children, nor the children be put to death for the fathers, but every man shall be put to death for his own sin. And let's pray. Father, I need you tonight. Holy Spirit of God, do what I cannot do. Would you communicate the word of God in a way that each and every person can understand it and apply it to their life personally, please. In Jesus' name, amen. We live in a world that wants to blame someone for everything that we do. We want to blame everybody else and put our problems because of someone else. We want to blame a mom for wrapping a boy in a pink blanket that he turned out to be a sodomite. We want to blame a dad for not throwing the ball with us enough that we don't work well with other people. We want to blame a sibling who snores for the reason that we smoke pot or we take drugs. That's about how ridiculous it is. Folks, we are not animals, we are people. People have the right to choose right and wrong. Absolutely. We have allowed a bunch of lost psychologists to doctor people as animals. Now, hang on. I'm about to come somewhere. I trust the Creator and His Word over any psychologist who thinks that we're animals to tell us that our problems come because Mama didn't burp us right or because Daddy didn't take you fishing enough. I hate to disappoint you. We aren't that way. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Freud was a God-hating humanist. And we have allowed Freud to influence Christianity, even in our counseling. Woe be to the preachers, and I get this often. I have people from around the country call me saying, I have permission from my pastor to talk with you. They call me and they say, my pastor has sent me to a psychologist, and I want to barf. They don't have a biological issue. They have a sin issue. They can't get along with their wife, so instead of counseling them, they send them to a psychologist. And I'll be honest with you. We have a spiritual problem in our country, not a psychological problem for the most part. Our biological bodies can be messed up chemically to where meds are needed for people to get the help they need. I understand that. And please take them. believe me, I get that. I can tell you something, though. In the 30 years of my ministry, 98% of the people don't need medication. It is a very small percentage. And I know when we're at that small percentage And when I am and I recommend it, I know where we're at. Believe me. 95% of the psychological drugs are given because of sinful lifestyles that have driven people to become wild, crazy, and nuts without help. Seriously, 95% of it. I realize we have folks that have been in the military, and there is such a thing called PTSD. And it is a chemical issue as well as a psychological issue. I've counseled it often, and it does require medication. There are times, and I'll be as sensitive as I know how to say this, there are times that often as a person's body changes chemically, especially a lady, that there's sometimes some medication needed to balance that out. All right? Doesn't mean they're bad. It doesn't mean they're crazy. All right? Has nothing to do with it. But there are just some things. By the way, sorry, I do that too well, don't I? Just comes natural, I promise. No, I didn't take mine tonight. You see, there are some things, though, that, but it's very rare, all right? It does happen, but it's not a 9 times out of 10, you don't need a pill. Okay? Probably 95 times out of 100, you don't. But there are some that do. Just because your daddy drank booze, it doesn't give you the right to have problems today. Man who built the world's largest church saw almost 2 million people get saved in his ministry. His dad was the neighborhood drunk. His name was Dr. Jack Hiles. Huh. See, every person is accountable for themselves in life. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 19. I want to show you another passage of scripture here. Psalm 19. And just so you know, I am not telling you that it's wrong in 100% of the cases to see a psychologist. But it's rare that I would ever recommend it. If I do, it's a major problem. And it's a biological issue, not a quote-unquote mental issue. Psalm 19, look at verse number 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their word to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. Now listen to me. God said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. There is enough in creation to point people to salvation. God has made truth available for every human being to seek more truth for salvation. Tonight there's going to be a lunar eclipse, a super moon, wolf moon, red moon, lunar eclipse. Brother Barnes and I were talking about it yesterday. I said, yeah, some kooks are probably out there saying that the rapture is going to take place because of it. Every time there's an eclipse, they talk about the rapture or the red moon. It's going to be a rapture. Yeah, I mean, by the way, a lot of them are Baptists. Bunch of idiots. See, every person has enough light or truth to lead them to Christ. John chapter 1, Brother Mike read this in Sunday school this morning. It talks about the gospel being the light. And the word being the light. And the Bible says that the light went from to the ends of the earth. Now hang on. Years ago I was going to, from Chicago to Kansas City, Missouri to preach. And I was sitting on the plane. Before I travel like that, I always say, Lord, put somebody beside me on the plane. If I'm going to get locked up in this hot dog in the sky, let me talk to somebody. The plane was packed full. And I was on the aisle, there was an empty seat, and there was a guy already passed out against the window. By the time I got on the plane, he was passed out, slobbering, and everything else. And they were holding the plane. They said, folks, we have one passenger that's on their way, and I'm thinking, well, I know where they're sitting. And sure enough, here comes this little lady, little girl almost. She was about that tall, and she had a red dot painted on her forehead. And I looked at God and said, "That's not funny." Of course, the whole plane's waiting. I've already had my Bible out. I'm working. I looked up, and there she was. I closed things up, got up. I put things in the overhead bin for her. I was trying to help her. She sat down. I sat down, popped open my Bible, and started working again. We had to wait just a minute or two, and they started to push back. And she said, "Oh, are you a Christian?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I am. I'm a Baptist preacher." She said, "Really?" She said, "Are you going to Kansas City or somewhere else?" I said, "I'm going to be preaching when I get to Kansas City." I said, "I have a church that I'll be preaching at here in the area for several days." She said, "That's interesting." I said, "Well, you asked me, am I a Christian?" I said, "Are you?" She said, "Oh, no." She said, "I'm a Hindu. I'm from India." She said, "Matter of fact, I wasn't even supposed to be on this plane. I didn't find out till 10 o'clock last night. Somebody else was supposed to go. They couldn't go. This is pre-911. So I'm taking their flight to go to this business meeting. I'm flying back to Chicago tonight." I said, "Interesting." So I was working on my Bible a little bit, and she said, "What are you going to preach when you're there?" Well, that's like sick 'em to a bulldog. Here we go. That's like a blind dog in a beat house. Here we go. And I said, "Well, let me tell you." And I opened up my Bible and I showed her who Jesus was. And we walked down the Romans Road, and about 38,000 feet, that little Hindu girl bowed her head with tears dripping off her face, getting saved. She said, "This is what I've been looking for." I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "I grew up in India." She said, "I grew up in a little village," and she said, "Every night I would go out to the edge of the village and look up and say, there has to be something out there I don't have and I don't know." She said, "I don't know even who I'm talking to, but could you lead me to that?" She said, "Every day of my life while I grew up in India, I would do that." She said, "I think I just found what I've been looking for my whole life." If that don't give you goosebumps, you're dead. If that don't light your fire, your wood's wet. Let me tell you. Can I tell you what happened? There was a young lady who went out, saw everything of creation, and she said, "There's something out there I don't have." And because she sought the truth with the light she had, eventually she sat down on a plane next to a Baptist preacher who opened his Bible and showed her how to get saved. I got to Kansas City Airport, and it's been a while since I've flown through there, but Kansas City only had three little places for luggage, two or three. It's not a very big airport. And I got my luggage, and the preacher was with me, and I started walking away. I probably got from here to the end of the hall away from the carousel, and I hear this, "Preacher, preacher, preacher, preacher." And I turned around, and she said, "If I don't see you again here, I'll see you in heaven someday." I don't think my feet hit the ground the rest of the trip. The Bible says, "The heavens declare." The heavens declare the glory of God. All man has to do is look up and they see God. We have to be taught that evolution is true. You don't have to be taught that God is true. You see, God put enough truth in creation to get man enough truth to know that there is a God. That is why evolution is such a hellish and satanic doctrine, and it is so wicked.
Yes, sir.
That's why you hear me mention it a lot. Yes, it is the premise for communism. It is the premise to break down Christianity. Communism and evolution go hand in hand, because you have to explain away God to have communism so the government can be God. As long as a person keeps accepting the truth he has, God will keep leading them to more truth to get to the gospel. Now, let me preach very quickly. Number one, every person is responsible for themselves.
Yes, sir.
We read in Jeremiah there was a proverb or a statement that would be used, a saying in Bible days. It used to be that the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. It would be like saying your dad drank or ate sour grapes, so the children no longer like sour things. But God says in the very next verse, but everyone shall die for his own iniquity. And every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. You can't blame somebody else for what you don't like or what you do wrong. It is your problem. You are responsible to God for yourself. Number one, every person is responsible for themselves. It is not your fault if someone else dies and goes to hell. Boy, that goes against a lot of Baptist preaching. There's a light, enough truth, and enough light available for everybody to see God. Now listen to this. Our job as Christians is to get the gospel out. My job is to preach the gospel so that you can get saved. Really, so you can get saved. My job is to preach the gospel so you could get saved and you could get saved. But can I tell you something? If I preach the gospel and she doesn't get saved and she dies and goes to hell, that's not my fault. My job is to get the gospel out. Yeah, I know you are. That's why I said that. Now, wait a minute. My job is to get the gospel out. It's up to the individual what they do with it from there. When I go soul winning, if I present the gospel and somebody rejects it, that's not my fault. Now, I might feel sorrow for them. I might feel pity for them. But may I say this, not my fault. I remember sitting down in your living room, sitting on the couch next to you, opened my Bible and showed you how to get saved. But Debbie, had you not gotten saved, guess what? It wouldn't have been my fault. Now, I'm glad you did. Trust me. And I wouldn't give up because I go back. I'm a bulldog. You will answer to God for yourself. Every person answers to God for themselves. When you stand before God, you will stand by yourself. Right. Let every man give an answer of himself before God. You're not going to answer to God for your kids. You're not going to answer to God for your husband or your wife or your parents. You will answer to God for yourself. See, no priest, no father, no pope, no pastor can do anything for you in God's place. You stand before God yourself. Folks, I love you, but I can't help you with God other than show you what he said. When you stand before him, if you die before I do, I can't do anything to help you. No matter how many candles you light, it ain't going to help anybody. Right. Everybody doing all right? By the way, no preacher, no pastor, no priest, no pope can stand in God's place for you. Any El Papa that gets up and says, I speak ex cathedra, is of the devil. I don't stand in God's place. Right. Not my place to do that. I'm God's messenger. Here's the truth. Here's what God said. You do with it as you wish. But I'm not going to stand here and tell you, I stand as God. I didn't raise my kid saying, I'm God of the home. You're an idol. You've made yourself your own idol and you're your own God. I am not God of my home. I picture God as a leader, but I don't stand in God's place as a leader. Everybody get that? So, every person gives an account to God for themselves. If you get the gospel out to someone and they die and go to hell, that's their fault, not your fault. I hate putting it that way. Number two, some people are more responsible than others. Some people have more responsibility than others. We're going to use our Bibles just a little bit here. Look at Revelation chapter 20. And I want you to turn quickly. Revelation chapter 20, verse number 13. Revelation chapter 20, verse number 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. Okay, look at me. That's a great white throne judgment. That's when the lost people come out of hell and they stand before God and they receive their final punishment for their works. We don't realize how long our sin goes. The problem we have in the Middle East came about because Abraham and Sarah got ahead of God. And Sarah said, I can't have kids. Take Hagar, my handmaid, have a physical relationship and a baby with her. And Ishmael was born. Ishmael is the father of the Muslim race. He was born almost 10 years, about 7 to 10 years before Abraham and Sarah had Isaac. Isaac was the promised seed. Ishmael was not. Muslims say Ishmael was born first, therefore Israel is our land because we were first born of Abraham. He was first born, but he wasn't the promised born. And that's why there's conflict today between the Jews and the Muslims. That's what the battle is over. Over one couple that sinned. And 6,000, 5,000 years later, we still have problems. Adolf Hitler sinned. He was an evil man. But did you know it didn't stop just when he died? His evil kept going for decades. There are still issues from it. That means he is more accountable because of more evil that he's done with his life. Everybody understand that? All of his works are not done yet. My wife works for a lady whose dad was in Germany. She was in Germany during World War II. She refuses to get saved because of what she saw Hitler and things do in the Catholic Church in Germany. Flat out refuses to get saved. Heartbreaking. And if the lady dies and goes to hell, that's on Adolf Hitler. And her. Now, Matthew chapter 11. Let me turn to one more verse. Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to read as soon as I get there. You can catch up if you want. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 21. I'm going to read just another little passage here. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon, man, my tongue's getting tangled up, at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if thy mighty works which were done have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have been remained until this day. But I say unto you that it should be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. In other words, we know God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. God destroyed the other cities, Chorazin. But listen to this. There will be degrees of punishment in hell based on the works man has done here on earth. God says that Sodom will be treated better than Bethsaida and Chorazin because that Bethsaida and Chorazin had more truth than Sodom had. They had more of the Bible and had more of the gospel. They had more of the truth in them. They had the example of what had happened through history to keep them from going that way. And God said, by the way, if God said there was more hope for them than Sodom, where's America at on that list? We have far more truth than Sodom had, and look at what we're doing. We have far more truth than they did in Noah's day, and look what we're doing. You see, now, how will America be treated at the judgment? The nation who has sent the gospel around the world in the last 200 years has been America. And now we bring people to church in America that have never, don't even know who Jesus is. And it's sad. You are not responsible for somebody going to hell. You will be responsible to get the gospel out to warn them. I am not responsible for somebody dying and going to hell, but I am responsible for getting the truth out. Now listen to this. Our job is to warn. Our job is to spread the truth. Our job is to get the truth out. What they do with it is between them and God. That's why I say when you go soul winning, you don't have to have somebody saved. But I will tell you this, the more you go soul winning, the more people you're going to get saved eventually. I promise you. Happens. But it's not our job to get them saved. It's our job to warn them. But according to the book of Ezekiel, God said, woe to them that stand on the tower and don't blow the warning when the enemy approaches. It's not that the enemy approaching was the problem. The problem was they weren't warned that the enemy was coming. Hey, I am here to blow the trumpet. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Then why did he preach so loud? That's why. See, listen to this very carefully. If a child goes bad, it's the child's fault, not the parents. We read in 2 Kings where it said that the father would not be put to death for the child, nor the child put to death for the father. That every man would bear his own iniquity for his own sin. Now listen to this very carefully. It is the child's fault, even if parents are not saved. If a kid grows up in the ghettos and he doesn't know who his daddy is and barely knows who his mama is, and there's a different man at the house every day, drugs going in and out, murder going on, drugs and gangs everywhere, he is still accountable for himself.
Right.
Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
It is not the fault. I was mistreated as a child. That's why I don't trust anybody as an adult. That's a lie out of hell. You are accountable for yourself. Well, I don't trust any man because I was touched wrongly as a child. The molester will answer to God for his sin, but you'll answer to God for your life. Everybody doing okay? You give an account of your life, not someone else, and how they treated you. Can I tell you something? I don't hate anybody. Now, I got a lot of people that don't like my insides or my outsides. But I'm not accountable for how they feel. I'm accountable for how I feel and what I do with it. You see, we are not responsible for someone turning out bad. We are responsible for not warning them what is right and what is wrong. I am not accountable for my three children to turn out right. I have warned them the whole time they were in my home what was right, what was wrong. If they chose right, good for them. If they chose wrong, bad for them. But it wasn't my fault. I tell people this all the time. God has had billions and billions and billions and billions of people on this earth. He only had one perfect child. What chance do you have as a parent? If a perfect, holy God only had one perfect one, what chance do you have? Everybody doing okay? Okay. This is where it's going to rubber meet the road. The victim mentality today is a way of saying you don't want to take responsibility for your life.
Yes.
We have too many people that are victims. I'm sorry. It's not your parents' fault that you are the way you are. It's not your environment. It doesn't take a village. It's not the environment that has caused you to be what you are. Just because you were born in a garage, you're not a car. That's what you're saying when you say, well, it's my environment. Well, if you were born in a barn, that doesn't make you a cow either. Jesus was. He was born in a stable and he didn't act like an animal. So I guess it's not the environment. Your church and your pastor are not the reason that you don't trust religion anymore and I don't trust things anymore. No, it's a matter of right and wrong.
That's good.
It's not society. Folks, don't you think I've known preachers that have done sinful things and wrong things? They all have because they're all sinners. You think I'm going to quit the ministry because one of my friends has done something stupid? No. No more than you'd quit your job because somebody on the job did something stupid. Everybody doing okay? You will answer to God for your obedience, not someone else's disobedience. That's a good statement. You are going to answer to God for your obedience, not someone else's disobedience, whether they have your last name or not. Ezekiel 18, verses 1 through 4, we won't take time to turn there, does not say, do not steal unless you're poor and needy. It says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not rob. Now listen to this. Just because somebody's mad at a jury verdict doesn't give you the right to go out and riot in the streets and bust down stores and go loot the stores and take whatever you want. No justice, no peace. Say, what is that rebellion against God? Everybody that did it knows what's wrong with it. Everybody doing okay? They interviewed a lady on the news when all the riots were taking place in Baltimore. This lady says, well, I don't understand why they took my son to jail. All he was doing was robbing the store. Everybody else was doing it too. And we wonder why the kid robbed the store. If a child goes bad, it's the child's fault. Your job as a parent is to train them and to warn them. It's up to them what they do with it. My three children will give an account to God for themselves. I will not answer to God for them. I will answer to God for this church as far as, did I preach truth? Did I preach it right? Did I follow what the Word of God said? But I'm not going to face God over the fact that you disobeyed or not. You got to face God for that, not me. Everybody doing okay? God's not going to judge us by what color paint, color carpet, color tile we put in a new building. He's going to judge us. Did we use the right Bible? Did we preach the right doctrine? Did we preach the right things? Did we go soul winning? Did we care more about people than we care about buildings? You also cannot blame parents who didn't train you right. I always tell people this. If somebody says, well, my parents weren't that way, I say, good. Now look at me. You learned what not to do. Now don't do it. Even someone who taught you wrong things taught you what not to do in life. I better be careful how I say this. I had teachers in my past, college, high school, grade school. They weren't, in my opinion, good teachers. Therefore, I learned what not to do when I was teaching. Everybody understand that? I learned something from them, maybe what not to do, but at least I learned something. Now, so let me say this. Every person is responsible for themselves. Some people are more responsible for others because they have more truth. Be careful pointing too much of a finger at the kids that grow up around the church and staff kids someday. Well, they know better. Every human knows better. Don't you hold a preacher's kid or a staff kid or a deacon's kid above anybody else's kid, above a bus kid. They're all the same. Ground's level at the cross. Well, they should know better. To whom much is given, much is required. You're right. Then why are you spouting your mouth off? If you know so much, how come you're in condemnation of it? How come you're not restoring? Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. Amen, preacher. Number three. The degree of responsibility is determined by the degree of truth. The degree of responsibility is determined by the degree of truth. Now listen to me. You can make it easier for people to do right, or you can make it easier for people to do wrong. But the final decision is theirs anyway. Let's see here. I don't believe in peer pressure. Peer pressure is far overrated. Peer pressure means this. You're listening to people around you, and you're not listening to right and wrong. As a principal in Christian schools, I used to say it this way. Let's put the pressure on the punks. Let's have a peer pressure to do right, not a peer pressure to do wrong. Doing right ought to be a pressure. Preacher, you're just soul winning. That's all you talk about. Good. Once you start doing it, then we'll hit another subject. You say, what is that? You see, we can make it easier for somebody to do right or harder for somebody to do right, but in the end, it's their decision whether they do right or not. Your sin is not them turning out bad. Yours will be if you didn't warn them what was right and wrong. My sin will not, if one of my children turns out to be a mass murderer and gets executed, it's not because I didn't raise them right. My sin would be, did I tell them what was right and wrong? Everybody understand that? If I've warned them what is right and what is wrong, guess what? My job is ended. What they did with it is from there is theirs. This is one of the dumbest things in the world to me. Some preacher's kid will turn out and do something stupid, do something wrong, live like the world, and people want that pastor to resign a church over the fact that their kid did something wrong. Well, you can't lead your house well. Their kid's 24 years old and goes out and does something wrong. Well, that's the pastor's fault. They don't know the Bible from a hole in a wall. Everybody doing okay? Man, I'm having fun right now. We need to quit putting the blame on someone else for the decisions we make or the decisions that children make. The decision goes on the child. Period. Whether it's yours or somebody else's. By the way, quit mollycoddling them and tell them it's their fault.
Yep. Amen. It is our fault. Always.
Bad character is not your... Bad character is not your parents' fault. It's your fault.
Amen.
Just because mommy came and woke you up every day, when you get to college, mommy's not going to college with you. Learn to wake up. Bad character's your fault. You shouldn't need mommy to wake you up every day.
Preach that. Stay there for a while.
Husbands, you shouldn't need your wife to wake you up.
Okay, yeah. Now you're meddling. Now you're meddling. 3:30's early.
Yeah, got on your seat now, didn't we? Uh-huh. Now listen to me. Bad character is not your parents' fault. It's your fault. Listen to this. God puts no conditions on his commands. You either obey or you disobey. Thou shalt not kill. Did you know there's no wiggle in that? The only wiggle in that is self-defense, which is not murder then, or at war. That's it. Those are the two terms that God brought into that because of man's sin. God allows it because of man's sin. You break into my home at an hour you should not be there, come through a door that you were not invited to come through, and you're going to meet the judge. Say, what's the judge? Shoots a 410, DXM load. And 45 LCP. You'll have more holes than you. You could drink water and look like a sieve. Say, are you afraid to pull the trigger? Nope, got 5 shots and all 5 are coming at you. Boom, 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 boom. Say, when are you going to quit? When it goes click. Say, why? Because I have a right to protect my family.
Amen.
My property and my family. But just because I don't like you doesn't mean I'm going to pull it out and take care of business that way. That's murder. You see, God puts no conditions. Thou shalt not lie. Well, it was only a little white lie. I was trying to protect somebody. You're sinning. You're not protecting somebody by lying to them. Everybody doing okay? The more truth you know, the more doing of right you're to be doing. Children that grow up in a Christian home with Christian parents who bring them to every service ought to know how to behave better than a bus kid who just came to church today. Right. But it doesn't mean they're any less of a sinner than that bus kid either. But I'm going to tell you something. You grow up in church, people are going to hold the standard above you a little higher than the average person. And there's nothing wrong with that. Did you ever notice how many great people in the Bible seemingly had little success, but God said they were great? Noah preached for 120 years and had 7 converts. 120 years and only 7 people got saved. His wife, his 3 sons, and his 3 daughter-in-laws. By the way, not his grandkids. We don't know how many other children Noah and his wife may have had. He only had 7 people saved in 120 years. Now, folks, if this preacher only had 7 people saved in the next 120 years, you'd have fired me long before then. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, preached for 50-some years and had very few people saved. Israel would not listen to him, but he preached every day. He went out and buried his wife by himself and said, God, that's it. I quit the ministry. God said it was like a fire shut up in his bones and he could not contain them. The next morning he got up and went on the streets and started preaching. Ezekiel, if you read through the book of Ezekiel, he was trying to prevent the nation of Israel into going into the 70 years captivity. He spent his whole life preaching to try to prevent Israel from going into captivity, and they didn't listen to him. Isaiah, same thing. Very little success, and yet God calls him great. What was Noah's great success? He built a boat and had 7 people saved. And not long after he got off the boat, got drunk. By the way, I preached a whole sermon on this several years ago. His family brought the gods from the other side of the flood with them. And went right back to the idolatry before the flood. It was success to them to obey and to warn. It was up to the people what they did with the truth that they were being warned about. Noah was successful because he obeyed and he warned. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah were successful because they preached the truth. They warned. They did what was right. Quit judging a church by its size. Judge it by its content. Romans chapter 14, verse number 12. Let me finish with this. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Quit blaming mama because she didn't burp you right. Quit blaming daddy because he didn't throw the ball enough with you. Well, my dad just worked all the time. I never spent any time with dad. I didn't get to do this with my dad. My mom was this way. And you want to blame all your problems. Well, my mom never taught me this. Well, then learn it. Quit blaming her. Just get enough character to learn it. Well, I'm a pig and I don't clean my house because my mom never taught me how to do it. You don't have to be a pig. It is what it is. Yeah. Maybe you were born in a barn. I don't know. Now, if you go to bed going vroom, vroom, okay, maybe you were born in a garage. I don't know. But may I say this? We need to take responsibility for ourselves. Psychology wants to take it all the way back to your childhood. And all of your problems are due to... No. So let every man give an account of himself before God.
Right.
And that's the truth. My dog, she doesn't know who her mother is. You say, why? Because when she was 7 weeks old, she was taken away from her mother and given to us. I can't blame my dog's bad habits on her. It's on my wife and I and my daughter, because we're the ones that raised her. Mostly, not me. She's a spoiled little priss. That's not me. But may I say this? We ain't going any farther with that statement either. I plan on going home tonight, and I'm not sleeping outside. Too cold. Now, wait a minute. If my dog does something wrong, I'm not going to say, well, as a puppy, she must have done this with her mother, and this is why she... No. She's a dog. That's what dogs do. Period. As a child, this person is an adult. This person is doing something wrong. All the way back here, they must have had a problem with it. No. Now, I can find some tendencies. I can find out where some mistrust may have begun with somebody, but I'm not going to blame it on that. We might understand why we are where we are because of that, but you can't blame it on it. Too many people want to blame it on that. Look in the mirror and say, it's my fault. Try it once. You won't die. I promise you. You got to look yourself square in the face and say, it's your fault. If you want to blame somebody, look in the mirror and point your finger at them. Say, it's your fault. See, let every man give an account of himself to God. That's what God has to say about responsibility in the Bible. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. How are you with taking the responsibility that's yours? Hey, to whom much is given, much is required. If God said Bethsaida and Chorazin were more in judgment than Sodom and Gomorrah, where are we?